This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Visit your favorite lake or riverbank, and there's a good chance you'll see some plastic there. And don't think for a second that stuff is just at the water's edge. Recent research in Lake Tahoe on the California-Nevada border found plenty of plastic on the lake bottom. The research came from a team-up of the Desert Research Institute in Las Vegas, the Tahoe Environmental Research Center of the University of California, Davis, and the nonprofit Clean Up the Lake. Our guests are Dr. Monica Arienzo, Associate Research Professor in the Division of Hydrologic Sciences at the Desert Research Institute in Las Vegas. Welcome, Dr. Arienzo.
Thank you for having me.
And Colin West is with us as well, the founder and CEO of Clean Up the Lake. Hi, Colin.
Hi, excited to be here.
Good to have you both. Monica, let's start with you. The combining of forces on this project, how did that come about?
Thank you so much for chatting with me today about this. Bringing together this wide array of different groups was really the fun part of this project. And really it all started when Colin West reached out to me and my team and asked about collaborating, and it just kind of went from there.
So, Colin, talk about Clean Up the Lake and what you normally do. I mean, your name seems like it's right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the namesake itself, for sure, we are cleaning up the lake. But I'd say overall, our mission as an environmental nonprofit is really to get out there and, you know, protect the environment both above and below the surface. And so while we clean up litter, I think, you know, collaborations like this are the most important, because what we need to do is spread the message and the awareness so that we can hopefully put ourselves out of business one day and not continuing to clean up this litter.
Before you approached the other entities that are involved in this project with you, how much litter had you taken out of the lake on previous scuba expeditions?
Oh, it's hard to put an exact timeline. Of course, we have that online and in our data somewhere, but I think it's, you know, it's become a few years of just you know, garbage and litter in my dreams and nightmares as it kind of all kind of meshes together. But I mean, at this point in time, we have removed over 71,000 pounds of small litter from our lakes in the Sierra.
Small litter, you're saying?
Correct. So we actually GPS pinpoint and identify a variety of what we call non-collection items. And those can be heavy lift litter items, where we found just under 700 different heavy lift litter items that we could not remove without cranes or devices in order to get those off the lake bed floor in Tahoe.
How heavy are we talking about? We're not talking like refrigerators or anything, are we? Or are we?
We're talking heavier than refrigerators most of the time. Engine blocks, side paneling of what could be, you know, old steamer ships or dock houses in Tahoe that we've seen, or pieces of boats, and you name it, it's down there.
Wow. So then, Monica, talk about the design of the research, what you wanted to show and how you went about showing it.
Yeah, so this research was really started when an undergraduate, her name was Julia Davidson, wanted to do her own little research project. And so we brainstormed with Colin's team on ways to integrate Julia's research interests, which were plastic pollution. And one of the questions we had was, you know, Colin's team was looking at how much the weight of the plastic, as he just mentioned, is down at the bottom of the lake. And we were really interested in understanding what is the actual items, how many items are there down there, and how do they vary by the type of litter that's down there. So do we have a lot of, you know, water bottles, and how many are down there versus, say, maybe plastic bags?
And you did want to limit this to plastic. We're not going to be talking about the refrigerators and engine blocks here, right?
Yeah, exactly. My group is mostly focused on plastic pollution.
And based on what you already knew about the work of Clean Up the Lake, I mean, did you have any doubt you'd find a lot of stuff down there?
I knew we'd find litter. I was surprised that at the five transects that we studied with Clean Up the Lake, that plastic litter was found at every single transect, with an average of 89 items per kilometer of lake bed. So okay. That was surprising.
So let's talk about the terminology there then. Transects, and this is when you talk about kilometers, these are linear, not square kilometers, right?
Exactly, yeah. So think of it as a line that's essentially, you know, an imaginary line we put on the lake bed, and they travel along that line, and that's how we get the items per kilometer.
We are talking about research at Lake Tahoe into plastics, not next to the lake, but actually in the lake, on the lake bottom, as picked up by the scuba divers of Clean Up the Lake. Colin West is the founder and CEO of that nonprofit and is with us on the call. Dr. Monica Arienzo is one of the leaders of the study. Monica is with the Desert Research Institute in Las Vegas. So, Colin, what was the mission for the divers? I mean, did this differ much from what you had done previously?
No, I wouldn't say it differed too much. Ultimately, our organization was founded on the behalf of really wanting to fight back against plastic and, you know, and all forms of pollution. And so initially, while we were looking at these issues above the surface on different beaches and within communities, we saw the issue that was underneath our lakes. And so we dove in figuratively and literally and began to tackle this issue. And it was bigger, you know, it was bigger than we thought. And, you know, as Monica said, their focus is a lot on plastics and our categorization system. We try and work across different material types. But ironically, even out of the 35,000 pounds or so of material that we pulled out from Lake Tahoe specifically, over 3,200 pounds of that was plastics that's come out of Tahoe today.
And how do you pull it out? I mean, you mentioned that the things can get a little heavy down there, but what do you do to get stuff to the surface without the divers having to come up?
No, it's a great question. So we have a pretty dynamic team, and the different team members include scuba divers. We have free divers and snorkelers, and then we have kayakers, a jet skier who actually pinpoints GPS information and records data and monitors safety, and of course, a boat captain, a boat to get us where we're going. And so these scuba divers will actually carry along mesh bags, and they'll fill up these mesh bags, and free divers will swim down and grab them from them, or they'll send down what we call a rock rope, super technical device where it's pretty much a rope with a rock tape to the end. But we'll loop that into bags, or we'll loop it into tires or cinder blocks and different pieces of litter that have been left down there of a medium weight. And then when we come across those heavy items, we actually have custom hand signals where our divers will report back with these hand signals to communicate to free divers. They relay that to a jet skier with an archaeological survey software, and they GPS pinpoint, and they record other data points onto a mobile device there on the jet ski.
It's quite a production line.
Yeah, it's a bit going on, but it makes it fun.
Monica Arienzo, we're not talking about microplastics here, right? Not the micro stuff.
Yeah, for this project, we focused on the plastic litter. So everything that's like bigger than a pencil eraser is probably about the smallest that we studied.
All right, so you identified a certain size below which you wouldn't go?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Colin, help us understand the Tahoe bottom. Is it sandy or craggy or a mix of conditions?
No, it's definitely a bit of a mix of conditions. It's nice to dive in. It's, you know, it's less full of sediment in most of the lake bed floor than some other lakes that we've been in, so visibility is often good. There's, you know, different areas of the lake that we find all around. So you might find more sandy beaches along the east shore. You see a lot more dominant granite boulders and, you know, really fields of granite, if you will. And there's even areas in Crystal Bay where sometimes it feels like you're swimming over the Grand Canyon because there's just 80 to 100 foot drops of granite walls or even Rubicon wall as well. So there really is that mix of lake bed conditions. But each collects litter in a different way as well.
So were there any places where things looked more or less pristine, no particular evidence of humans or their stuff?
You know, this project that we initially focused on with Monica and everyone at DRI and Turk was very interesting because at that point in time, it was the early days. And so we started targeting some of the areas on shore where we knew there was the highest points of recreation. And so we imagined there'd be the highest amount of litter in those zones. But we found ourselves swimming across, say, Nevada Beach near South Lake or the sandy beach area where everyone congregates at Sand Harbor. And we weren't finding as much litter. But I think the area in Sand Harbor is probably the best example because the mile or so of granite that stretches just south of Sand Harbor was one of the most littered of Tahoe. And we, in fact, found, I think, 1,000 beer cans in just one day in that stretch south. But those areas of sand did not collect as much as we thought, no matter how many people were congregating on the beach there.
Took me a second to figure out TERC. That's the acronym for Tahoe Environmental Research Center, which is involved in this process with the Desert Research Institute and Clean Up the Lake. Colin West is the founder and CEO of Clean Up the Lake. Monica Arienzo is associate research professor at the Desert Research Institute. We're talking about taking plastic litter out of Lake Tahoe in California and Nevada. Monica, you came up with a bunch of categories for what was found. I mean, plus an other category, which turned out to be the biggest. What was most of the other?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that did puzzle us for a while. Other plastics were things that didn't fit into any category either because we couldn't identify them, right? These are things that are just flakes of plastic that you don't know where they came from originally. But it actually turned out that when we looked at the data more carefully in the photos we took of all the litter, there actually were a lot of PVC pipes. They're these pipes that you find, you know, for irrigation and other water, like transport. And we found that our other plastic was actually had a lot of these pipes in it. And it actually resulted in Clean Up the Lake developing a new PVC pipe category so we can monitor that specific type of litter moving forward.
Okay, so and I see PVC on the lists on the collection stuff, a lot of it in all the sites that you looked at here. What did you do with the stuff once you pulled it out of the lake or had it pulled out of the lake by the Clean Up the Lake people, Monica?
So what my group did was we all worked together, all the organizations. We categorized each piece of litter by the type of litter it was. So was it a food container, a plastic bag, or a bottle? We then weighed each category. We counted the plastic litter categories, so how many items were in each category. And then we took a little piece of each piece of plastic because we wanted to figure out what they were made of. And the reason why it's important to study the type of plastic is because different plastics may have different importance for either toxicologically important. So some plastics may be more harmful than others. And so we really wanted to start to get a feel for what's down there. So as we learn more about plastic pollution, we then have this really nice data set to refer back to.
And does this fit in with some other avenues of research you do?
It does, yeah. So we are really also interested in these small pieces of plastic, these microplastics. And when we look at microplastics, we don't know where those plastics came from, but we do know the type of plastic. And so the data set we developed with Clean Up the Lake and Tahoe Environmental Research Center is really helpful for us to now be able to further understand microplastics and where they may be coming from.
For you, Colin West, were there any particular surprises in what came off the lake bottom?
I think you guys were, Monica was touching into that a little bit, and we're using this system from, it's a United Nations Marine Litter Categorization System that had specific categories, but in the case just like PVC, it was really interesting to see a few different categories like that be developed so that we could better have kind of more granularity in the data for freshwater, because a lot of consistent items were ending up in this other category, just like the PVC. So it was cool to see more, you know, more specifics be developed when it comes to freshwater litter, which is a subject that for some reason has been ignored and out of sight and out of mind for decades, even though ocean plastics and litter there is a very hot topic, if you will.
It really is. And so, Monica, what would you say is the most important takeaway from what you did at Lake Tahoe, what the rest of us can learn from it?
One of the things that was just surprising to me was just how much plastic litter we did find. At every transect, we found plastic litter. And so, you know, I think that there's just a lot we can still do as individuals to reduce plastic inputs into the lake. In particular, you know, we found a lot of food containers, a lot of plastic bags, a lot of toys and bottles. So as we recreate in and around Lake Tahoe, just making sure we're properly disposing of those items can go a really long way.
Do you see any changes in production or handling of plastics that might make a difference in what you were finding down there?
That's a great question. And ultimately, I think that is the only solution to plastic pollution is going to be is reducing the production of new plastics, recycling those plastics that we currently have already produced, and then just trying to find alternatives, right, like using aluminum bottles that are refillable, right, and those types of substitutions are really going to go a long way in the future.
Colin, above the waterline, is there much of a campaign going on to try to get people to not litter? I don't know how much of this is considered deliberate littering and how much is oops, but is there a campaign like that?
Oh, there is, absolutely. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there with the litter really, you know, having a mix of a lot of accidental litter. I'm sure, you know, the hundreds of designer sunglasses we found weren't intentional, but when you find a few beer cans that are all in one area of the same brand, you know someone was just chucking it into the lake. So there's definitely a mix, but for campaigns above the surface, at the end of the day, you know, that is our nonprofit's main objective. And so we get to work with wonderful people like Monica and other nonprofits and agencies for a Lake Tahoe Litter Summit that will be in its second year this year, where we're trying to bring everyone together to talk about what efforts are going on now in when it comes to mitigating litter in our environment and what changes need to happen so that we can begin to address those. And so, you know, that summit itself, plus a lot of the other PSAs or public service announcements and youth education programs and everything that we're doing and other nonprofits are doing, are all in that effort to really prevent litter and plastics from making their way into our environment.
Clean Up the Lake is the nonprofit founded and run by Colin West. Colin, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And the Desert Research Institute is where you'll find Dr. Monica Arienzo. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you so much.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.